Okay, so the sermon passage this afternoon is taken from Genesis chapter 45, verses 1 to 15. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all his attendants, and he cried out, "Have everyone leave my presence." So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's household heard about it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now, do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years, there will be no plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler of all Egypt. Now, hurry back to my father and say to him, 'This is what your son Joseph says. God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, don't delay. You shall live in the region of Goshen and be near me, you, your children and grandchildren, your flocks and herds, and all you have. I will provide for you there, because 5 years of famine are still to come. Otherwise, you and your household and all who belong to you will become destitute. You can see for yourselves, and so can my brother Benjamin, that it is really I who am speaking to you. Tell my father about all the honor accorded me in Egypt and about everything you have seen, and bring my father down here quickly.' Then he threw his arms around his brother Benjamin and wept, and Benjamin embraced him, weeping. And he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. Afterward, his brothers talked with him."
Dr. Patrick Fung to grace our pulpit once again. The last time he did so was a few years back, but today he's available. He's here to bless us, to minister to us from God's Word. Before we hear him speak, he is currently the principal designate of Singapore Bible College. He will take over the role or step into the role in a few months' time, very soon. And he is currently also the global ambassador of OMF. And really wonderful to have God's faithful servant serving among us. Actually, he was preaching at the youth worship service this morning, and wonderful to have him here to grace our pulpit once again. So without further ado, Dr. Patrick.
Well, good morning once again. It's been some time since I was here last time. It's good to share the word with you. And you have heard the word of God read to you just now on Genesis chapter 45. The focus, of course, is on the story of Joseph. I hope it works. Okay. Now, I don't know how many of you would like to watch television drama series. Those from Singapore particularly. Now, you would have recognized this one, right? How many of you watch this? No? You shook your heads. It's a very popular one in Singapore. But of course, a good TV drama series include, of course, good, well-developed characters and, you know, captivating storylines and engaging plots and so on and so forth. But if Joseph's story were made into a TV drama series, I think it will become very, very popular. It will be excellent. The reason is it contains many moving moments. And but of course, as Christians, when we read the story of Joseph, it's not just about a story, but behind that is the Word of God, and there are many spiritual lessons. But we do face a problem when we read the story of Joseph, and that is this. Joseph's story is very long, like long drama series. It spans from chapter 37 all the way to chapter 50. I don't know whether you realize, 14 chapters. It's very long. And so today, because of time, I will focus only on chapter 45 and maybe cover a little bit for the rest of the story. Now, when you go into the story of Joseph, you need to understand the background first, of course, right? And here we come to chapter 45. He was already the ruler of Egypt, the prime minister. And the thing that struck us was that this prime minister, the ruler of Egypt, cried so loud that everybody could hear it. Just can you imagine, you know, any famous prime ministers in the world and suddenly on television cried so loud and people say, what was happening? Now, for us to know that, we need to go back to the background first. So before we go into chapter 45, I want to just cover a little bit, just for a few minutes, the background of what had happened. And some of you say, oh, I heard it so many times, I'm familiar with the background. So bear with me just for a few minutes that for some who may not be familiar, let's do the story background. It's important before we understand chapter 45. Now, we know that Joseph's father was Jacob. And like many other families, the family was not perfect. And Jacob was not perfect. One problem he had was this. Jacob, the father, had four wives. Just can you imagine a family has four wives? Of course there is problem, right? There's problem wherever, whatever culture, right? Four wives, you have problem. But Joseph's father, Jacob, had one problem. Bible says he loved Rachel, one of the wives, more than the others. Now that's where the problem began. And because he loves Rachel, he loves Rachel's children more than the others, particularly Joseph. Now, so much so that Jacob made this beautiful garment for Joseph. And the other brothers were very jealous and refused to talk to him. Now, imagine that. The family had problem, even among the brothers, because of what the father did. Now, and of course, you know the story. One time, you know, the brothers were grazing the flocks for the father, and the father said, okay, go and see how your brothers are doing. So Joseph went to see his brothers. As he was approaching, the brothers say, well, why don't we kill him and dump him into the pit? And he said, no, that's not good. You know, he's our brother. Let's just sell him. Because at that time, so happened that a merchant came by, a Midianite, and they say, why don't we sell him? And so in the end, they decided to sell him to this merchant, and it was sold to Egypt, and they came home and told the father that, oh, Joseph was devoured by a wild animal. And now remember this. This was 25 years ago. Now we come to chapter 45. Now, chapter 45 is the second visit by Joseph's brother to Egypt. Why did I say second visit? Because the first visit was in chapter 41 and 42, because there was no food, there was famine, and the father said, go and find food from Egypt, because we know that there is food in Egypt. So the first time they met again after 25 years was actually in chapter 41, chapter 42, when they went to Egypt. But the first visit, Joseph immediately recognized his brothers. But the brothers, of course, could not recognize him. You know, he was high up there on the throne as the ruler, and they were bowing down, and they couldn't recognize him. And when you come to the second visit, this is the second visit here, and you can see that, you know, the famine was still severe. The father sent them again to Egypt again. Actually, the father, Jacob, was not very happy to send Benjamin along. But the first visit, Joseph said, if you come again, unless you bring your youngest brother, I will not let you and I will not meet with you. And so the son says to his father and their fathers and say, look, if we visit again, no food, unless we bring Benjamin, Joseph is not going to see us. So the father was very reluctantly let Benjamin go with them. So now we come to chapter 45. This is now the background, as I told you. And today, now we focus on this chapter, chapter 45. There are three things I want to discuss here. First, the restoration of relationships. Second, the sovereign rule of God. And third, integrity and discernment based on chapter 45. Now, about restoration relationships, I told you, now at that time, Joseph had not revealed himself yet. The brothers didn't know that he was Joseph. Joseph knew. I'm sure that Joseph had very mixed emotions. Can you imagine? Your brothers, if you were Joseph, your brothers sold you to Egypt 25 years ago. You had gone through this trauma, this hurt, that stayed with you for 25 years. And that trauma, that hurt, never went away inside. Deeply hurt. I think Joseph was very, very mixed, had very mixed emotions. You know, what should I do? If I forgive my brother, you know, do they recognize they have done wrong? Will they ever repent? So I'm sure he was struggling in his mind. And for that, he devised a way to test his brothers. So what was that testing? The testing was this. They came to look for food. Joseph said, okay, give them food. They sent them back with the food. And also, even with the money, they came with the money to buy the food. They say, I don't need the money. Put the money back into their sacks. But one thing you do, Joseph told his servants, put my silver cup in Benjamin's bag and let them go. So off they went. Before they went very far, Joseph sent his servants and chased after them and said, stop! You did an evil thing. You stole a silver cup from my master, Joseph. They say, hang on a minute now. We didn't steal anything. No, not at all. Why did we want to steal anything before? No, you gave us food. They say, no, you stole my master's silver cup. So they say, okay, go and search. They search every bag from all the brothers. And finally, they came to Benjamin, and they opened the bag, and out they saw this silver cup. And of course, they were all escorted back to Egypt, and Joseph met with them. And Joseph said this, and said, this silver cup is found in Benjamin. So Benjamin will be a prisoner, will be a slave in Egypt. Now, at this moment, do you know who spoke first? It was a very critical moment. Do you know who spoke first? It was Judah. Judah who spoke first. Judah spoke up. Now, remember this. 25 years ago, it was Judah who gave the idea to the brother and said, let us sell him to Egypt. 25 years ago, it was Judah. If you see the record in chapter 37 and 38, Judah said, let's sell him to the Midianites, to Egypt. 25 years later, at this critical moment, it was Judah who spoke up and said, look, don't do that, because my father is very old. And you can see on the screen here, he says, my father's life is closely bound up with Benjamin's life. They're very close together because, you know, Jacob loved Rachel, loved the two sons, Benjamin and Joseph. Joseph is now gone, assuming that he was dead, and not only Benjamin. And Judah made an appeal and said, if Benjamin is not allowed to go home, my father will die from mourning. Please have mercy. Let me be the prisoner. You see the change of attitude. 25 years ago, Judah sold Joseph to Egypt. 25 years later, it was Judah who spoke up and said, let me be the prisoner, not my brother Benjamin. And because of that, Joseph was so moved because he could see the change in his brother Judah's life. Now, that change, that's why that chapter describes Joseph. He cried so loud that everybody could hear because he saw the life of his brother change. Now, that's when restoration began, when life is changed. Now, but restoration went through a process. It doesn't say, you know, kind of, sorry, oh, he forget and forgive. You know, when somebody hurt you deeply, just say, oh, forgive him, that's all right. The hurt doesn't go away. And so this chapter describes the process, how the restoration happened, how the restoration began. Now, I want to cover a few things here. First, there are a few things described in this chapter which is really important. How did the restoration happen, or restoration relationship? First of all, you know what Joseph said to Judah? The first thing he says to his brothers, come close to me, the first thing. Just think about it again. For 25 years, they never had a conversation. Actually, the brothers hate him, right? They sold him. For 25 years, there was complete alienation. There was no conversation. For the first time, when Joseph revealed himself as his brother, he said, come close to me. Now, this come close to me is not just a geographical closeness. There is the emotional connection as well. The emotional connection is really, really important. Forgiveness begins with that connection. There can never be forgiveness if there is no connection. Now, I know that many of you have been told this. No, when somebody hurt you, you say, forget and forgive, right? You heard this phrase, forget and forgive. Oh, it's okay, just forget it and you forgive the person. Joseph never forget what happened. You know why? Because Joseph said, you sold me to Egypt. Did Joseph forget? No, he did not forget. But what happened here is this, that Joseph did not allow the hurt to bind him or become a slave to that injury or hurt. Sometimes we allow the hurt to bind us and we become a slave to that injury. We will never forget. Joseph never forgot what happened, but yet he did not allow that to be a slave. I know of an elderly man who was, when I met him, was 70 years old. He's now passed away. He told me that when he was young, his family looked down on him. All his brothers looked down on him and said, oh, you're no good. You know, you will not make it. You know, of course, he wasn't very successful in study and all that. So all the brothers and sisters looked down on him. And when he was, I think, 14 years old, his sister wrote a letter to him and said, you're no good. He was 70 when I met him. He brought me to his home, you know. His room has a safe. He opened a safe. He showed me. He pulled a letter written by his sister 50 years ago. I said, why do you keep this letter in your safe? You should burn it. Destroy. He said, no. He said, I will never forget what my sister did to me. I said, you have become a slave to that hurt. Sometimes we allow the hurt to bind us. You know, okay, people hurt us, but have we become a slave to that hurt, to that injury? What about you? And someone might have hurt you in the past and you have refused to talk to that person. And you may say to that person, in your heart at least, I do not want to talk to that person ever again. I don't know whether that happens to you. It could be your colleagues at work, classmates, sometimes even family members, sadly. I've seen many family members who refuse to talk to each other. Joseph's first step is, he says, come close to me. There is the connection. That is the beginning of that restoration of relationship. Connection. Come close to me. Now, there's a second step. What I call embrace and accept. Not only he said to his brothers, come close to me, he said, he embraced them, hugged them, and kissed them, not just Benjamin, but all his brothers. This is embracing. What does embrace mean? It's the acceptance. It's the welcoming of that relationship again. And, you know, I'm sure many of you are parents. If a child is hurt, either physically or emotionally, the parents would put, you know, their arms around the child and the child will stop crying, right? Because there's comfort, right? If you're hurt, you're embraced by somebody. But that embracing, that, you know, acceptance is mutual. It's not just the one who is hurt, like Joseph, reaching out and embrace his brothers. It's mutual. Sometimes we are wrong. We are the one hurting other people. And sometimes we need to pick up the courage to go to the other person and embrace them and say, I'm wrong. It's mutual. It's not this story is Joseph embracing his brothers. Joseph was the one who was hurt. But it's mutual. It's also somebody who's hurting others also need to, you know, ask for forgiveness as well. I still remember when I was young, I think I was 10 years old, I did something very bad and I hurt my father deeply. My father was very angry with me. And my mom was nudging me and say, go and give your father a hug. He said, I'm from a very traditional family. I can't remember when my father gave me a hug. My mom would give me a hug. My father is very traditional. Hugging is not his culture, you know, it's not his being. So I feel a bit awkward, you know. Gave him a hug, and I say, okay, I listened to my mom. So I kind of went forward and kind of gave my father a hug. I think he felt awkward, I felt awkward. But I think he liked it. You know, I gave him a hug in a sense of I was in the wrong. Almost I was saying, look, you know, Father, you know, forgive me. Even though I was not saying in my words, but my action, that embracing is mutual. Rebuilding our relationships involve drawing close together, embracing each other. I think we need to do that. But there's a third step, as you see in this passage. Not just embracing each other. Joseph kissed his brothers and wept over him. And afterwards, his brothers talked with him. Now, this is so significant. This is the climax of the story. Just imagine, 25 years, they never talked to each other. I don't know whether any of you have that experience. You know, you say, I'm never going to talk to this person again. For 25 years, you had no conversation with this person because it was a broken relationship. At that moment, Joseph talked with them and the brothers talked with Joseph. That was when the broken relationship was beginning to restore. And, you know, through an open dialogue. Now, as I talk about three things here, Joseph said, come close, drawing near, embrace and accept. They hug each other and open dialogue. My question is, what about you? I don't know what relationships you had with your friends, family members, or classmates, or colleagues. Maybe someone who has hurt you deeply and you have not spoken to them for a long time and say, I will never talk to that person again. And maybe today God is challenging us, maybe, that God is encouraging us to take courage, to draw close again to someone who had hurt you in the past, to embrace and accept and to engage in an open dialogue. And I'm asking you, who might that person be? Maybe somebody who is very close to you. I don't know. Maybe your brother or sister that you have not talked to for a long time. Actually, the Lord challenged me a few years ago. And a few years ago, I was praying and the Lord brought to my mind an incident. I've done something not good to my sister when I was, I think, 18 or 19. You know, I never dealt with it. Actually, I hurt my sister, but never dealt with it. At that moment, God said, do something about it. So I wrote a letter, a four-page letter, handwritten letter to my sister when I was 50 years old. You know, I did that. I hurt her when I was 18. At 50, the Lord said, do something. So I wrote a four-page letter. I usually don't write letters to my sister, you know, let alone handwritten letter, not even type. I hand-wrote the letter. I mail it to her and say, sorry, that was wrong of me. She appreciated that. And I felt that after that letter, our relationship changed completely. There was this open dialogue again. You know, there was this awkwardness before that. And I know that she remembered that incident. And when I wrote that letter, I find that that relationship changed. And God challenged me to take up that courage, to draw close, to embrace, to have dialogue, and to ask for forgiveness. That was Joseph. Now, we come to the second point, the sovereign rule of God. The interesting thing about this story is that, of course, evil was done to Joseph. The brothers sold him to Egypt, and he was imprisoned because Potiphar's wife, you know, was angry with him and all that. Wrong was done to Joseph. But interestingly, in the whole chapter, you can see here, many times this phrase was repeated. Not just once, many times. God sent me ahead of you. Joseph told his brothers, God sent me ahead of you. You see, how can that be? Evil was done to him. The brothers sold him to Egypt. Why? How can it be that God sent Joseph ahead of the brothers? Why? And the Bible tells us a story. You know, behind all the evil deeds, God was in control. And I think the song we sang just now also indicated that. You know, not only God had a way, but God intended it for good. And the reason is this. Apart from this phrase, God sent me ahead of you, another phrase was repeated several times. And that is this phrase, life and death. You can see here, the first time that Judah or Jacob sent the brothers or the sons to Egypt, he said, go to Egypt to find food so that we may live and not die. The second reference is the second visit. That is Judah, the brother, say, you know, Father, let us go together with Benjamin and get food so that we may live and not die. And then even the people of Egypt, they suffer from famine. The people of Egypt asked Joseph, give us food so that we may live and not die. Now, what is the Bible telling us here? Behind all that situation, the difficulties, even evil done to Joseph, God was in control. God intended it for good, and God wanted to preserve the lives of the Israelites. Behind all that, you know, so that they may live and not die. Even the time when Joseph's father died, Jacob died, the brothers were very afraid and said, oh, you will take revenge on us because the father was the one to protect us. Now, father is no longer there. You will hold a grudge against us. And Joseph said, no, why are you thinking like that? No, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good. It is incredible. I think the songs we sang just now and the leader just now reminded us. Sometimes, even, I love the children's story. That was a full sermon, actually. I don't need to preach today. I think that story was very good. Yeah. The story, you remember the children's story, you know? Sometimes we don't see the reason, and yet God intended it for good. Just now, the children's story, that Sunday school lesson was very, very helpful. God intended it for good. How? The Bible told us. Because of God's kindness. Twice, if you see here, chapter 39 mentioned, you know, when Joseph was serving Potiphar in Egypt, God was with him, and the Lord gave him success in everything he did, right? That was with Potiphar. And interestingly, the Bible described it in a very humorous way. The Bible said, Potiphar knew nothing else except food. Because he gave everything to Joseph to rule, right? And he knew nothing except food. So I'm sure he loves food, and that's all he paid attention to. The rest, Joseph would take care. And God was with Joseph, so he made him success, gave him success. And then when he was put to prison, when Potiphar's wife framed him, again, when he was helping the prison warden, God was with him, and God showed him kindness. And I'm asking you this question. Sometimes you feel that you're not treated fairly at your work, in your school, whatever. You know, sometimes maybe even you face accusations that are false. You face all the wrongs. You feel all the wrongs are against you. But I'm asking you again, just stop and pause and think. Can you remember God's kindness on you? Even in the most difficult moment, God's kindness is with you, with me. never left us. I want to share a story. Many of you know that I worked in Pakistan for a number of years as a missionary doctor with my wife, Jenny. Now, before I worked in Pakistan, I was working in Hong Kong in a hospital as a doctor for a number of years. And my boss really was very nice to me. And I, of course, passed the specialist exam, so my boss wanted to promote me to be a consultant in charge of the renal dialysis unit, looking after kidney patients. So in charge of a unit, look after the patients, and a promotion, of course, a job title, but also a salary increase as well. But I knew that in a few months, I would be going to Pakistan. So I talked to my boss. I said, don't give me the promotion because I shouldn't take this job because I'll be going to Pakistan in a few months. Give this promotion, this position to somebody else. I thought I did the right thing. And I was telling the truth because don't give me the promotion because I'm leaving soon. I thought I did the right thing. I told the truth. But my boss really got upset with me. He said, well, I invested in you. You became a specialist. Now you're abandoning the job, and that's not good. So since that moment, he refused to talk to me. I was so hurt. I said, Lord, you know, I thought by telling the truth, I did the right thing, and yet that's all I get. I couldn't understand. I said, why? So he refused to talk to me. And you know, it was really painful for me to face the fact that I told the truth, and yet that's what I get. 4 years later, I returned from Pakistan to come to Hong Kong for a medical conference. And at that conference, lo and behold, I bumped into my boss, my former boss. He saw me. The first thing he said to me was this. He said, Patrick, when you have a moment, come to the hospital, have lunch with me. Now that phrase, have lunch with me, as if God put a Band-Aid on my arm. The wound that was bleeding for 4 years, God stopped the bleeding. And that moment, I recognized, I said, God, you are kind to me. God's kindness. Sometimes in the most difficult moment, we can't see why that happened. And yet, do not forget, God is kind to us. God's kindness was with Joseph, even though he was in prison, even though he was a slave working under Potiphar. And yet God's kindness was with him. Now I want to come to the third point, integrity and discernment. Of course, Joseph did not become a prime minister in Egypt overnight, right? He wasn't just, you know, going straight to become a prime minister. He went through many trials and difficulties. But one thing I noticed is that even in the most difficult moment, he held on to integrity. Now, you remember the story of Potiphar. He was working, you know, under Potiphar, and Potiphar liked him. But he had a problem because Potiphar's wife seduced Joseph. You remember the story, right? Come to bed with me. You know, come to bed with me. There were two phrases in the Bible in chapter 39 which really moved me. These two things, Joseph said, how can I do such a wicked thing against God? That's the first thing. Second thing is this. He refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. A very clear boundary line. Even I don't want even to get close to her, not to say not to go to bed with her, but even near her, I don't want to. Joseph had very clear boundary lines when he faced temptations. And so I asked myself this question. Do I have clear boundary lines? Can I say no when faced with temptations? What about you? Can you say no, like Joseph, when faced with temptations? How can I do such a wicked thing against God? And Joseph refused to be with her, even, you know, when she asked. And of course, the Bible is very clear, and the Bible used very strong words in the New Testament. The Bible says, resist the devil, meaning very clear boundary lines. Don't give in, resist the devil. Very clear, both you know, according to James and also Paul as well, and many parts in the New Testament talk about resist the devil, clear boundary lines. Now, I don't know how many of you met Dr. Jamie Taylor. Jamie Taylor is the principal of the Bible College in Taiwan, Huashen, and he's the great-great-grandson of Hudson Taylor. You know the story. He told me a story. He said, you know, he was preaching one time in an Asian country, and the church invited him to come and preach and organized him to stay in a hotel. 10 o'clock at night, a woman called. He doesn't know this woman. Woman called and say, oh, our hotel provides very special service. And Jamie said, I don't need special service. Hang up the phone. Half an hour later, the phone rang again. And this same woman say, no, we provide very special service and it's not expensive. It's okay. He said, I don't need special service. Hang up. Third time, the phone rang after another half an hour. And this is what the women say, oh, this place is very private, very quiet. Nobody will know what will happen. And at that moment, Jamie say, maybe nobody will know, but God will know. I cannot do such a wicked thing against God. Again here, a very clear boundary line. God will know. Now, I mentioned two things. One is integrity, which Joseph held onto. But there's another thing, is discernment. Interpretation of the situation. You remember when he was in Egypt, how he became prime minister was that Pharaoh had a dream, right? Pharaoh didn't understand the dream and asked people to interpret the dreams for him. No one could, and he asked Joseph. Now, when it came to Joseph, Pharaoh said, well, I heard that people say you could interpret dreams. Now, this is what Joseph said. Joseph said, no, I cannot do it. But it is God who will give you the answer. Joseph never took the credit from God, what belonged to God. Now, Joseph could have said, oh, yeah, let me do the interpretation for you. Of course, there is the career pathway. You know, he will get promotion and all that. No? Very good. I interpret a dream for the king, for Pharaoh. No. He said, I cannot do it. It's God only. Joseph never took the credit. That belonged to God only. And of course, Pharaoh recognized that there was no one like Joseph who had the discerning mind. And so, you know, Pharaoh gave Joseph this, you know, prime minister role. Now, many of you are familiar with Proverbs. The first part, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Of course, we know that Joseph feared God in whatever circumstances. But let me say one other thing. More than that, there's one other verse which I think even described better than here in chapter 9, Proverbs. It's in Proverbs 23, 26. God says, my son, give your heart to me. Joseph, in good times or bad times, gave his heart to God. Sometimes it's easy to say, oh, good times we gave our heart to God. But no, even in bad times, Joseph gave his heart to God. Very clear boundary lines. Never gave in to temptations. Even in prison, even as a slave, he held on to a life of integrity. And Joseph gave his heart to God. Even when he was betrayed, Joseph did not forget God. So this is a summary here. Three things I talk about today. A restoration of relationships. God will give us the strength to rebuild those broken relationships. Sometimes, you know, we have been hurt, but we do not allow the hurt to bind us or make us slaves. Never. We have the freedom in Christ. God is calling us to reconnect, perhaps with someone who might have hurt you. I don't know who they are. Maybe God is saying, you have not talked to that person for a long time. Go and connect. Go and talk to the person. Who might that person be? The second thing is the sovereign rule of God. Even though we may face all the evils, done to us, the harms done to us, and yet God said to Joseph, or Joseph said, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good. My question to you is this: do you see God's kindness in your life, even in the most difficult moment? God's kindness. Don't forget, God is kind to you and God is kind to me. The third is integrity and discernment, a very clear boundary line when faced with temptations. Are we someone who can say no when faced with temptations? Now, I need to close the story. I need to finish. But I want to end with a surprise for you to think about, a surprise for you to think about. Now, what is that surprise? Joseph, of course, is the main character in the story. I've been talking about Joseph. But think about this. Joseph is not the one that continues the storyline. Joseph is not the one who continues the storyline. Do you know who? It's Judah. Why did I say that? It is from the tribe of Judah came the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. It's not through Joseph. Does that surprise you? Judah was the one that sold Joseph to Egypt. Judah was the one that did all the wrong, massively, all the wrong. And yet, out of God's mercy, Joseph repented and God blessed him. Not only Joseph gave his heart to God, I believe Judah also gave his heart to God. What was the lesson for me? And the closing lesson is this. No one is beyond God's saving power. Even Judah. Judah was a mess. He sold his brother. And yet, out of that came the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, from that tribe. Why? It's only because of God's mercy. God was kind to Judah. God was kind to Joseph. And God certainly is kind to us all as well. May God's word encourage us. Amen.